You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I am that James Dobson, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today.
You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, alongside your host, Dr. James Dobson. And Doctor, today, again, we're going to hear from a couple whose marriage survived extremely difficult circumstances.
Yeah, the interview that we're going to hear today kind of serves as a follow-up to the testimony we heard yesterday from the late Mr. Larry Wright. Larry was a highly successful and well-known disc jockey in the Phoenix area. I never heard him, but I would like to have, because he had a lot of spunk, I'm told. And in fact, he acquired the nickname Lucky Larry,
yeah.
Yet he quickly discovered that his life and his marriage were falling apart due to his addiction to alcohol.
Very true indeed. If you missed the first part of the Wright's testimony, be sure to visit today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. When you're there, you'll find a link to day one of this story. Now, from what we heard last time, Doctor, Larry had a big heart and an incredible sense of humor, didn't he?
Yeah, I came to love this man. He was such a warm and caring individual, and he genuinely loved people. Larry and his wife, Sue, joined me in the studio some time ago to share about their marriage and specifically the redemptive power of God's love in each of their lives. Their relationship was clearly crumbling.
Mm.
And in fact, Larry said that it wasn't if they were going to get a divorce, but when.
Mm.
But then Sue found the Lord. And through her actions, she was able to lead Larry to Christ, and he was never the same. They went from sickness to wholeness in a relatively short period of time.
Wow.
And from that point on, Larry's passion was to tell everybody he saw about what the Lord had done.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry then went on to be with the Lord in 2001. But I will never forget his passion for our Heavenly Father.
And Doctor, Sue continued that same fervor that filled her husband's life until her passing in 2019. Larry and Sue left behind three daughters and numerous grandchildren and numerous more great-grandchildren as well. Sue and Larry founded Abundant Life Ministry. And Larry also taught from the pulpit at Northwest Community Church there in Phoenix before his passing. Dr. Dobson, this interview was originally recorded many years ago, but it still contains timeless wisdom that really hasn't aged much at all. So many couples feel helpless and hopeless in relationships that are failing or just falling apart.
Yeah, they've run out of answers. They really have no other solution. And sometimes counseling doesn't help either if you don't get the right person and have the right attitude going in. So there is something else that's there, and that's appealing to the creator of the family.
Well, Dr. Dobson, you are absolutely right. And we pray that this broadcast will minister to those marriages in hardships or maybe even on the brink of divorce. Well, let's get to today's broadcast now. As we begin, Larry Wright opens by describing his days as a popular disc jockey here on Family Talk, a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute.
Well, I married a Phoenix girl. I'm originally from Oklahoma, and Sue and I met on a blind date. We were married 3 months later, and then about 3 or 4 years later, wondered why. We discovered we had nothing in common, absolutely nothing. She came from a wonderful, warm, loving, hugging, kissing family background. My father had died when I was just a toddler and had no concept of what love was really all about. I'd never really seen it. My mother had to immediately go out to work to keep body and soul together in the family, and I just didn't know how to love and didn't know what it was, and I began to pursue my own personal goals in the radio business, and I was a disc jockey at the top rock and roll station in Phoenix, and I looked for fulfillment there and had it for a period of time. I was Lucky Lawrence back in those days.
Your name was about as well known as anybody in the city, wasn't it?
Yes, I suppose in the state of Arizona during the 60s, I was probably one of two or three well-known disc jockeys in that area, and got so involved in that, and the pressure became so great with ratings. It's very insecure in the broadcast business, particularly in that brand of it. You either get the ratings or you lose your job. And that kind of pressure eventually led to my looking for some kind of relaxation. You just can't continually take that pressure. And I found a place about a mile south of where I worked that served this marvelous relaxing liquid that I began to partake of quite heavily. In fact, it got so bad after a period of time, I'd get off the air at 9 o'clock in the morning, and my day was virtually over. About 9:02, there were three or four fingers of vodka sitting there on the bar waiting for me, and Sue tried to do everything she could to change me. I was failing in my own home. I was success out there. Everybody loved to see me coming.
Making good money.
Yes, and here comes the life of the party. We had the nice home, the clothes, the cars, everything that I thought was going to bring me happiness, and yet I was not a father, and I knew it, and I was not a good husband, and I knew that, and no man wants to hang around failure, so the more I failed at home, the more I spent out there where I was accepted and successful, and the more I spent out there, the more I failed at home and got caught up in this catch-22 situation until finally the marriage was gone. Divorce was not a matter of whether, it was just a matter of when.
You were really ready to call it quits, Sue, is that right?
Well, yes, we just didn't have any feelings for one another at all, and when we did communicate, it was arguing and fighting and bickering, and I just felt totally unloved. I just felt he didn't care about us, and when he was home, he wasn't with us. You know, he was either sacked out on the couch or watching television. He really was not with us at all.
Now, isn't this fascinating that you all at that time in your life had achieved the American dream? You, Larry, were famous, successful, loved. You had the material possessions that come from that kind of success. You had three healthy kids. You had a nice home. You supposedly had what people struggle for and hunger for. There are many people listening to us right now who think that if they can only achieve some modicum of success like that, that life would take on a different aura. Yet you had it, and it didn't satisfy. In fact, you all were dying inside.
And at that particular point, I was alert enough to recognize Sue's depression, that she was really hurting, she was withdrawing, and see, what I didn't realize at the time is what she really wanted was the one thing I wasn't willing to give her, and that was
you.
Myself.
Yeah.
And to try to replace it by buying her gifts, and this will make her happy, this will take away the disappointment.
What was going on with your kids, Larry? We've heard Sue's answer to that question, but how do you see your relationship with your children when they were younger?
Well, when they were very young, we spent time together. But then I got caught up in this success thing. The pressures became greater, became more time-consuming, and they, in essence, were... I was just a guy who came in from time to time. They were very insecure, but I was not even aware of it. I didn't know what I was doing. My job was not the kid. She could take care of that. So I was oblivious to what was going on in my relationship with the children. I could explain it away on the basis that I didn't have a father and didn't know, and everything that I did was in ignorance. I didn't set out to warp my children.
Yeah.
I didn't mean
yeah.
to do that. I just wasn't aware.
And what I did is I constantly nagged him. Because, see, I had a wonderful relationship with my father, and so I knew what the children needed, and girls particularly, I think, need a dad, a super relationship with a father.
Sue, are you admitting here that you also played a role in the problems that you all had?
Oh, did I ever.
Even though he was drinking too much and gone and not involved in the family, and you were trying to hold it together, you still bear some responsibility.
Oh, I did, because... I had blinders on. We all have our blind spots, but it wasn't until Christ came into my life and began to open my eyes to see what the Lord does. He takes your eyes off of the other person and turns them around, and you see yourself.
Yeah,
I began to see that I was a constant nag. I was a very depressed person because I thought I was going to end up like my mother, only earlier. And so I was very negative, very critical. And what Larry needed more than anything, because coming from the background, and the Lord showed me this. It wasn't something that just happened. God began to show me. I asked God for wisdom, and He tells us He'll give it to us liberally. And as I watched Him and realized that He was just as empty inside as I'd been before Christ had come in, and He needed to know the love of God. And I condemned drinking so much and thought it was such an awful thing. But then God began to show me, hey, what I was saying to Him was worse than what He was doing.
I want to emphasize that point because in my dealing with families, this is a rather characteristic pattern now that we're talking about. That's why I wanted you here to convey this message. It's not just your story. It's too many people's story. Mm-hmm. You got an overcommitted husband, really believes that success in business and making money is all there is, and that's the extent of his responsibility. And his wife knows that that's not right, and she is responding in a way to him that is almost as destructive to the marriage as what he's doing, but she recognizes no responsibility for it. What she is doing is bludgeoning him instead of pulling him toward her, attracting him toward her, making him want to do what she needs him to do. She is hammering him into the ground, and you put that combination together, and the marriage is in serious jeopardy.
What happened as soon as Sue really began to realize the love of Christ in her life, and through the study of God's Word, understand what God wanted her to be as a wife, and through His power began to have that produced in her, the little pamphlets began to disappear. She began to quit asking me, how many did I have? She would smell my breath. That all stopped. She just began to love me.
But the reason that all stopped was because I had totally released my husband to the Lord. I knew. I had tried everything. And that's one thing I would say to most women, is there is nothing you can do to change your husband. That's God's job. And to be willing to let God change you and to do what He has to teach you. And God had to teach me how to love the unlovable person. My love was very conditional. I'll love you if you don't drink. I'll love you if you come home on time. I'll love you if you do this. And God had to show me that what kind of love I had. And not only did He show me through Larry, then we had teenagers, and we had to learn it all over again, how to love unconditionally.
One of the neat things Sue said to me, and this wasn't but just a few months ago, and we were counseling a couple in our living room, and Sue made this statement. I never heard her say it before. She said, I realized that as a child you had grown up without any love. And when I realized that God had given you to me so that I might love you, that He brought you to me so that I might have the privilege of really giving you the love that you had missed all your life. That really blew me away.
There's
she
not
had
another,
demonstrated that, but never verbalized it before.
There's not another philosophy on the face of the earth that would grant her that kind of acceptance and love other than the love of Christ. I want you to talk a little more about the consequences of that familiar pattern of an overcommitted father thinking that his total responsibility is to become a big wheel in business and earn a lot of money and not being involved at home. You disciplined in anger, didn't you, Larry?
Yes.
What did that produce? What was your relationship with your kids in the early years, and what did that do during the adolescent years?
Well, in the early years, not having a role model as a father, either good or bad, just assumed that what those children were to do was to obey me. When I said jump, I expected them unhesitatingly to jump, and as long as they were small enough where I could handle that, then they did. But they began to get into those areas where they said, no, wait a minute, I don't know whether jumping is the right thing to do or not. And I began to immediately just lose my cool. They would dare disobey me. Oh, my goodness, they paid the price. And I can remember in the adolescent years to this day, my middle daughter sitting on a bed there looking at me with hatred in her eyes and her jaw clenched and saying, I hate your guts, because I had just really let her have it, and I was mad because she disobeyed me. Then my oldest daughter got involved in some activities that just really tore old Dad's heart out, and our relationship was severed. I didn't want to talk to her. I didn't want to see her.
I was a Christian at the time, had been for several years. But I didn't want to have anything to do with this daughter. She had been the firstborn, and we had been so very close in those early years, and we ran together before the teenage years and just had fun. I just loved her so much. And then she got into some difficulties with marital. She had married a marvelous young man, just a prince, and they had become separated. And we hadn't heard from her for several weeks. She was living in a California city, by the way, and there we were in Phoenix. I hadn't heard a word, and we wanted to reestablish this contact. I said, it's very important that we get this communication going back again, that we got to say we care for you, we don't like what you're doing, we don't like this separation, that you're not really working and putting your marriage back together. So we got the ticket, made arrangements, met her there in the airport, we sat in the lounge, and we started reminiscing about the early days in our relationship. She said, Dad, you know the thing I remember, running in the track meet. And my event came up and you were doing the announcing up there in the stands. And I remember in the middle of the race, you had forgotten to turn off the public address mic and you were yelling and screaming over the loudspeaker that I heard you. And I finished and I won the race. And she said, Dad, the first thing I did was to look up in the press box and see you jumping up and down. She said, Dad, I just wanted you to be proud of me. She said, more than anything else in my life, I've just always wanted you to be proud of me. But she said, I figured that I'd just blown it. And at that moment, it was as if the Lord hit me between the eyes, and I said, oh, Linda, you haven't blown it. I'm the one who's blown it. See, yeah, I remember when you won. I was excited and for you. But I said, let me tell you what I remember. I remember a track meet that we went to that you should have won. And everybody knew you should have won. And you didn't. You finished poorly. And I can see myself standing on the step there of that stadium, taking your shoes, your warm-up shoes in my hand, and throwing them at you. I said, that's what I remember. When you won, I was there encouraging you for you. But when you lost, what happened? And I said, Linda, God just shown me. That's the way I've been loving you. And I said, I now know why I'm here. I said, the only reason I came, Linda, is to tell you, I don't care whether you put your marriage back together. I don't care whether you go back to your husband. I don't care what you do. I just want you to know that I love you. And I love you because you're mine. And for no other reason. And what you do is of no consequence. It will not affect that love. I love you. And that's the way God wants you to love your husband. Just because he's yours, God's given him to you to love. And we wept together, and time for my plane to leave. And she threw her arms around me and she said, oh, Dad, I wish you could stay. I wish you could stay, but I know you've got to get back. And the last words out of her mouth, as through her tears, she said, Dad, I just want you to know, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want God's plan for my life. And God restored a relationship. And that moment of time, not just between father and daughter, but because of that restoration, he also restored the relationship between wife and husband. And God has given them a love for each other that they never experienced before. And I said, oh, Lord, forgive me for being so hard-headed, so stubborn, that you have to take me to that point. To be able to reach out to her and say, I love you. And it doesn't matter what you do. The only thing that really matters is who you are.
All right. Get practical with that now, Larry. Talk to somebody who has a 13-year-old or 14 or 15-year-old who is so hostile and so angry and is doing everything they can to tear up the family. It's not just they want their own way, but they're in the process of saying, as your daughter did to you when she sat on the bed, I hate you. Get out of my life. When you restored this relationship with your daughter, she was grown. She was out of the home. You didn't have responsibility for her. How can a parent continue to exercise authority and yet give that unconditional love in those moments of great anger and hostility?
Well, I learned that the first thing I had to do is to wait for my initial reaction to that hostility and that anger and striking out me to subside. I would say just as strongly and firmly, whether it was done to me or whether that response and reaction was done to their mother, to say, sweetheart, I love you. And because I love you, I cannot let you get away with that kind of attitude, with that kind of action. Now, I'm angry and I'm upset, but that's going to cost you. I cannot tolerate that and let you get away with that and let you grow up like the Fink that you're on the road to becoming. But I'm going to, so you go to your room, you close the door, do whatever, and I'm going to count to 10 or 180 or 647,000, however long it takes for me to get rid of this anger that you have stirred up in me. And then it's going to cost you. And your mother and I are going to sit down together and we're going to decide what the price is. Because we that was before we learned to start telling them what the price was in front. We never. So we're going to sit down, because my immediate reaction to that was, all right, that's it. You are grounded for 6 months. And Sue's response to that was, well, you know, it really wasn't that big a deal after the anger subsided. So God put us together.
Besides, I was grounded with the kids also. Ground them, I was too.
So we learned to sit down and start consulting on what's right, what's fair. In terms of the response to that, and then I would go back and would say, this is the privilege you lose. You lose a privilege because of that. But then I would be able to hold her and love her and hug her and say, that's, if you think that's going to cause you to love me less, you're wrong.
The Lord's taught you guys some valuable lessons through the years, and you today have taught some of those lessons to me and to the others who are listening. And the beautiful thing, though, is that there was nothing but chaos in your lives. Your marriage was on the verge of divorce. Sue, you were thinking of suicide, and your children were in rebellion. And the Lord has put your relationship together. The two of you love one another. You said the most loving, complimentary things before we went on the air today. And all three of your kids are Christians and are married to Christians and are living the Christian life. Is that right?
If it weren't for Jesus, he has to get all the credit. The Lord Jesus Christ does. He's given
us. No wonder you're out talking about him. You've got a lot to be thankful
yes,
for.
We sure do.
I grew up in a Christian home and never went into that outbroken sin, even though the Lord had to deal with sin in my life. But I have not experienced that radical change that you're talking about. But it must really be something to see then and now when you've been where you've been.
Well, it's a miracle. And I can just say publicly that Sue and I will never, never get a divorce. There's no possibility of that because we are so committed to each other now. God has given us such a love for each other, and I publicly tell her, I think maybe you said it once, if we're really going to tell our wives we love them, to say it to somebody else, say it publicly in front of them.
And well, that ought to do the job, right, Sue?
Well, I thank God for her daily and the fact that she was available to let the Lord Jesus Christ transform her life. And if there is the epitome of a woman of Proverbs 31, a godly woman, it's the girl that that God gave me almost 28 years ago. And I thank him for her daily.
This is Roger Marsh, and what a heartwarming end to this insightful Family Talk broadcast. I pray that you were moved by how Larry and Sue Wright were utterly transformed by the gospel. And, well, that was the entire purpose of this broadcast, wasn't it, Dr. Dobson?
You know, we see it so often in the Bible. When someone accepts the Lord, they literally do a 180-degree turn. Mm-hmm. They're headed down one path, a road that leads to death and destruction for themselves and their family. Yet when we repent and humble ourselves before the Lord, he completely transforms us. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Mm. And we saw that with Larry and Sue, and I'm telling you, it can happen for someone listening right now as well.
Well, absolutely, Dr. Dobson. And if you are serious right now about wanting to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, all you have to do is give us a call. A member of our team will be happy to pray with you when you call 877-732-6825. Again, that number, 877-732-6825. 732-6825. Call today, and a member of our team will be happy to pray with you as you consider inviting Jesus Christ into your heart. We also encourage you to visit our resources page at drjamesdobson.org. There you'll find a huge collection of Dr. Dobson's books, teaching DVDs, broadcast collections, and much more. Now, they cover materials like, of course, becoming a Christian, but also topics like parenting and restoring marriages and passing on a godly legacy to your children and grandchildren. Every family goes through tough times. Larry and Sue Wright are no exception. But we want you to know that if you're going through a situation like that right now, here at Family Talk, we really do care about you. I encourage you to rush over to drjamesdobson.org if you're not there already and take advantage of the Resources tab. As we close, I want to thank you for your continuing support of this ministry. The Dobson Family Institute is funded completely by listeners just like you. Your generous financial contributions allow us to remain committed to fighting for the institution of the family. You can learn how to partner with us by going to drjamesdobson.org or by calling 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Dr. Dobson thanks you for joining us, and we also thank you for listening to us, too. I'm Roger Marsh. Have a blessed day.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.